Good morning, church. I was thinking this morning, we're going to get started here. We're going to get into worship. I don't know if any of you have ever had the privilege of arguing with a toddler. It's interesting because the things that they get in their head that they're right about. Right now, our one-year-old, almost two-year-old, he doesn't know his colors, which is, we're praying for him. He'll get it. He'll get a popsicle, and it'll be a blue popsicle, and we'll tell him that's a blue popsicle, and he'll say, "No, it's orange." It's blue, bud. I think I know what I'm talking about. And he's like, "It's orange," and he'll just walk around. I have an orange popsicle. It's blue. And I was thinking about that this morning and just how, he's just made that decision in his mind. He's made that decision in his heart. This is my orange popsicle. That silly illustration is to say all this. I really hope and pray that we would decide in our hearts today how we're going to engage with the Father. Regardless of what anything that is going on the outside, throughout your week, throughout your day, even the car ride over here, that we've just decided that we're going to encounter the Father. Regardless of what service looks like, regardless of what songs we sing, if you know the songs, if you don't know the songs, whatever, that you've made the decision in your heart that you're going to encounter the Father today. Because whether or not you want to encounter Him, I promise you, He wants to encounter you. So you guys stand with me as I pray. Father, I thank You that You're in this place already. I thank You, Lord, that You've been here way before we've walked in, way before Pastor Mike came and opened the doors and warmed up the church, way before we plugged in the guitar and got our mic set up. God, You've been doing something already in this place. And I just ask this morning, God, that we would just be encountered by Your love, God. I thank you, Father, that whether or not we've made the decision, God, whether or not we've decided, Lord, how we're going to engage with You, You've already decided long ago how You're going to engage with us. You're going to engage with us in love, with mercy, kindness, with forgiveness. It's like the story of the prodigal son, that the father had decided long before the son appeared how he was going to engage with the son. That wasn't just a spontaneous response to seeing his son, but he had decided, when I see my son coming, I'm going to run after him. And so we thank You, Father. We thank You, Father, that You're here to encounter Your children, Your sons and Your daughters. God, and I just pray this morning that we would have a love interaction with You, Jesus. God, I thank You for Your love. Thank You that You're pouring it out this morning. God, I just pray, Lord, that we would see You today in a tangible way. God, I pray, Lord, for all infirmities, for all sickness. I pray, Lord, for all anything that needs to be healed or restored this morning, God, that even right now, Lord, even during worship, God, even during this opening, God, that You would begin doing a work, Lord, that You wouldn't need, that there would be no need for the spiritual person to grab the mic to make this call, Lord, but that You're moving already in this place, God. And I just thank You for Your presence, God. I thank You, Lord, that You're here and that You're going to do what You want to do and that You choose to utilize and use us, God, in this place. I thank You, Father. I thank You, Father. Can we just put thankfulness on our lips this morning? Just begin thanking Him for His goodness. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Father, thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your love. You're the one we want to meet today.
You're the one who wanted me today, Jesus.
Thank you.
pour out your love. Now I get to love you back. Pour out your love. Pour out your love. Still nothing is whole. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaken. And I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He's never
it's Yeah. So this song talks about our house being built on Christ. Scripture tells us Christ comes and inhabits the praises of his people. And we build our house on the rock when we praise him. When we build our house on him, he doesn't leave it empty. He comes in and he inhabits it because he wants to join us. He wants to love us. He wants to be with us. He inhabits us when we receive him as our Savior. But when we lift his name in joy and we lift his name in worship and praises, he comes running to be in the home with us. So if you're feeling a little empty today, you've had kind of a rough week, open your doors and open your windows of your heart. Whether you're here for duty or you're here because you want to be here, open those windows and doors and let your praises fly, and he will be faithful and come and join you and bring you the joy and the fulfillment that you need.
coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light out, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down.
Thank you, Lord, that you have inhabited our praises today, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that we have this building to come to, Lord, to worship you together. And Lord, we give this service to you, Lord, all of it. Lord, let your word be spoken. Let your word be received here, Lord. We pray a blessing over those who are going to speak today. And Lord, we just pray that we don't leave here unchanged. And we just thank you for this in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen. Take a moment to greet each other. We have coffee and tea over there if you would like it. And then we'll get started with the service. God bless you.
Check, check, check. Well, good morning, church. We are going to do our declarations, and again, just to reiterate, Cast Vision. You know, this is we're going to do our city declaration, and this is our heart. The heart of this house is that we believe that this church, no matter the size, we have a intricate part to play in our city. And so that is how we view our city. That's how we pray for our city, how we talk about our city, how we think about our city. And when I say city, I'm not just talking about the city limits. I'm talking about the Yakima Valley. And so that means Tieton, that means Sela, that means Granger, that means all these places that are, I didn't even know places that were the Yakima Valley. There's a lot of them, actually, like 14 or something. Like it's a lot. If you would stand with me, we're going to do this declaration. Go to the first slide, buddy. And in unison, we're going to say this together with a heart positioned towards our city. And so on three, read this with me out loud. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things, and I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Yes, so we thank you, God, for Yakima. We thank you for the valley. We thank you, Lord, that you love this city. You love this place, God. And I just pray right now, God, for churches all over our city, God, that they're experiencing, Lord, a touch from heaven, Lord, in their services, God. I pray, Lord, for every person, Lord, that calls the Yakima Valley home, that they would be blessed, God. We thank you, Jesus, that you are moving, that you are pouring something out all over the valley, and we thank you for all of this and all God's people said. Amen. Amen. You guys take your seats as my beautiful bride makes her way up. In no rush at all, just model walk.
Model.
Hi, guys. No, I'm just here to encourage you guys today. We do not believe in taking a tithe, but we receive one. But with that, we wanted to kind of implement again in a more intentional way tithing, just because tithing and offering, giving of any sort, when it comes to the Lord, we want to do all things with intentionality, right? Because in 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." And in this house, I know that we really do have value for making sure that everything that we do is with intentionality. And so, and also, sorry, there's one more. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it will be given to you. In good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you." So not with the heart of like, oh, if I do this, I'm going to get something back. Not that type of heart, but just understanding that where we put our money, the way that we, with the intentionality and prayerful consideration that we do this, the Lord is able to use it. And not only bless you and your family, but also bless the city and bless the church and be able to bless others who might need that. So because when we give unto him and do things unto him, he's able to take that and run with it. Almost like, you know, like how sometimes we say, oh, if we give him an inch, he'll take it 3 miles. But the Lord is able to take our inch and draw it out 3 miles. You know what I mean? Like, how amazing is that? And so I just would love to invite you guys to have an opportunity to partner with him in that and allow these things to, you know, just be blessed. And like we had talked with you guys last week, I was just so encouraged because I know that we're small, but we're mighty, right? And our church, I know, is big and has big needs, but God is mighty and he's so much bigger. And so in Jesus' name, I just want to bless you guys and bless this time of giving. You can either give in this little box area here, or there's onelifefamilyworship.com. If you guys are a little bit more hip with it, you can do that. I'm a little old fashioned. I kind of like the pen and paper and writing a check and being able to pray over it, but it doesn't mean you can't do that when you're texting and your tithe as well. So without further ado, Lord, I just bless you. God, I thank you for the finances that you have given each and every one of these families. Lord, I pray that every penny given, Father, that you would be able to turn it in and just bless it tenfold, God, that it would be able to do your work, that you would tell it where to go, God, and that it would just have exponential growth, God, for our city, Lord, that it would bless local businesses, Father, that it would bless the homeless in our county, Father, that you would be able to do the work to make this building back, bring this building back to life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, we have a couple announcements. So we are doing a church game night. This is happening on March 19th. This is a Sunday evening, and we want every single person to be there. And so please put this in your calendar and make it a priority. These are nights that we get to just connect as a family. Obviously, it's super fun to come and do church and worship together. And this is just us getting together. You have something to say, don't you? Yeah. And so let me just get the details out, and then I'll let Nancy take it away. So this will be March 19th, 6 to 8. We're meeting downstairs in our fellowship hall. And what's really cool is if you guys don't know, Sunday nights is when our youth group gathers. And I'm not telling them that we're doing this. They're just going to show up, and a bunch of you guys are going to be there. And so if youth in the room don't say anything, and we're just going to bait and switch. And be like, now you have to hang out with our church people. But it's going to be really fun, and
and it's not a have to, they get to, you guys. But I just want to encourage you, like, this is such an exciting thing. I am such a big gamer. I love gaming. I love the ability to get silly. So when you come, just know you're going to get silly, and we're going to have competition, and it is going to be fun. So I want you to come with that in mind and really excited to just be able to have fun with one another, you know, because sometimes it feels like we do the, you know, like the seriousness, but I really want to have an opportunity to just have fun with you guys, because God is fun too, right? And he's going to be there with us, and he's going to be having a good time.
Amen. Church work day. yeah, come to this and expect to have fun as well. This is lots of fun. Yeah, so this is a work day we try to do at least once or twice a year. And this is just, we come together and we get some projects done around our house here. So the 25th, it's a Saturday, 9 to 2, lunch will be provided. And, we'll have a list of projects to be done. If you have tools, bring tools. If you have some skill set that I definitely don't have, please be prepared to utilize it. And yeah, so
if you have friends, invite them.
If you have friends, tell them to come work on our church. All right. Next slide. Spaghetti fundraiser. So this was scheduled to be, I think, last Sunday, but then we actually changed it to be the end of April. And so, again, put this in your calendar. This is a youth fundraiser. All money and proceeds that come from this will go directly to our youth ministry. And so we'll roll out more information as that gets closer, but just wanted to put that on your radar. And I think that's it, right?
I think that's it.
Yeah. In Jesus' name. I think we're good. Okay. You can take a seat, my love. Okay. Okay. Children, yes. Nancy's going to go hang out with the children. Praise the Lord.
Yes, praise the Lord. That's awesome. Okay. Well, Eric and I were going to do this, I think it's February 19th. And that Sunday, the Lord kind of, was it February 19th? I think so. I think that's what the original date of this was. And the Lord kind of redirected. And part of it was what was going on at Asbury and is still going on in colleges. And the idea that God is stirring the hearts of his people, you know, for a college, you know, place that holds, you know, 2,000, I think it is, or 2,500. It's a pretty large group. For it to just continually to be filled and people lines about a half a mile away and they're waiting hours in the freezing cold to get in, that's God doing something in the heart. Because it says that, you know, we can't come to God unless he's really drawing us first. And so I got to communicate on that. It was exciting. But this is also part of that, the idea that if we seek God's kingdom first, you know, and his righteousness, that everything else is going to be added to us, is really the gospel. It's really, we don't sit there and worry about every single day how it's all going to go and how it's all going to work together. God seems to let it all work out. So we're going to talk about Matthew 6:33, which I just did a little bit. Do you want to read the scriptures, or do you want me to read them?
I can read them.
You can read them?
Yeah.
You can read them
from
here?
I can see them on the screen. Oh, I can see them.
Okay, good.
All right, so Matthew 6:31-33 says this. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
Amen. This is like the third step in this series. We've talked about the overall idea of seeking and the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. Looked at all the different translations, and some of them really kind of communicated different thoughts about that. Then we talked about what it means to seek, and it means to have an intention, have a desire, have like a hunting heart, and that it takes sometimes moving obstacles out of your way to truly seek. I don't know if you guys have ever looked for like keys that you've lost. Hello? Anybody lost keys? I still haven't put one of those Apple things on my keys. I think one of these days I should. But how about this? Anybody lost their phone while they're talking to somebody on the phone? Where is my phone? Oh, right. It's here. Yeah, sorry. Anyway, you know, you lose your keys, and sometimes you've put something over your keys, but you didn't remember putting something over your keys. So you're looking all over the house. Sometimes you have to move that obstacle to see the keys.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to move things out of our lives to really seek the kingdom of God and experience the kingdom of God. And
I
that's
think,
what we're going to talk about
too,
today. Go ahead.
I think too in this is, you know, you read this and it talks about being anxious for these things that are necessary. I would say these are valid reasons to be anxious. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? Like these are things that if you or I were in a spot where we didn't have resources to these things, we would be anxious over, and it would be valid. And I really feel like, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking, like, moving stuff out of the way, it's not that these things aren't important. It's that if you can get priorities in order and seek first the kingdom of God, then these things will be less anxious. Because as when you posture your heart to believe that all of these things will be added to me when I seek first the kingdom of God, then it does something in your brain, does something in your heart where you worry less about those things.
Right.
In those moments when you wouldn't need to worry about what to eat, what to wear, what you're going to drink. So
the common things of life.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. That's good. I wanted to take a moment here and have us look at what it really means, the word kingdom. It means royal power, kingship, dominion, or rule. It can also mean a kingdom or the territory or subject to the rule of a king. And we're going to learn that we are the territory of God, and we're the subject of that territory. We're both the territory and the subject. And it's used in the New Testament to refer to the reign of the Messiah. Mm. This is a little bit foreign to most Christians, because they don't understand that the atmosphere in Jerusalem when Jesus came, or in Judea, or in that whole region, what it meant when people heard the kingdom of God. Let's take a look here. In the early Jewish context, the kingdom of God was understood to be a future and ultimate fulfillment of God's promises to Israel. So when they heard Jesus say, don't worry about those things, seek the kingdom of God, they're thinking, oh yeah, I'm seeking for when the Messiah is going to come, and he's going to set up his rulership, he's going to set up his kingdom, and you know, everything in the world's all going to work out. It says the Jews were looking for a Messiah, a powerful king from the lineage of King David, who would restore Israel to its former glory and establish God's kingdom on earth. Mm. Does anybody remember the disciples saying, is it now, Lord, that you're going to restore your kingdom? Is it now that you're going to restore Israel to its former glory? Remember them asking him that? I think it was actually when he was getting ready to ascend.
Yeah, right.
Okay, we've been with you 40 days, so is it now you're going to do this? It says, no, go and tarry in Jerusalem, and you guys pray, and the Father's going to send the promise to you, the Holy Spirit. And so their idea was, I think up till, you know, maybe the day of Pentecost, still something was going to happen where Jesus was going to set up his kingdom. So what is the kingdom of God now? This is what the kingdom of God is today for you and I. Today, the kingdom of God is established when Jesus is residing as the king and divine ruler in our hearts.
Wow.
So the idea is that we have a heart, and it's not just our physical blood pump. It's the center of who we are. It's who I am. I mean, when you get to know Mike Lindell, you're getting to know my heart. You're getting to know, hopefully, who I am. Unless I'm putting up a facade, you know, I'm putting up some kind of screen so you don't really see me, and I don't want you to know what I'm really like. But, you know, most people know I'm pretty transparent. So when you hang around me, you get to know who Mike Lindell is. You get to know my heart. You get to know what makes me tick, you know. Sometimes it's you know, it's like certain types of shows that I like. That's part of the heart of who I am. But what I have to do, and what all of us have to do, is let Jesus sit on our heart, have rulership. His throne needs to be enthroned in our heart. It needs to be enthroned in our entire being. He needs to be the number one. That's a pretty easy way to say it. And so how do we do this? How do we make it so that our heart doesn't just go out and do whatever it wants to do? You know, because the heart of man can be, you know, very, very wicked if we let it. If we let it run wild.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, one of the key verses always brings back to memory about how do I keep my heart in check? Guarding my heart, Proverbs, with all diligence. Mm-hmm. And why do we do that? Because the issues of life flow out of it. The very nature of our life comes from our heart. Do you have a verse?
Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And I just want to keep reading a couple of verses down. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. So not only do we get instruction here of what to do, we get instruction of how to do it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. How do we do that? How do we allow God to be, the kingdom of God to be established in our hearts? We guard it, right? It's amazing to me how many believers will not have this like simple practice down. And I say simple in the sense that like this is one of the first things we should be doing. If when we say yes to Jesus, when we give our life to the Lord, when we start walking in his kingdom, one of the things that we need to start doing is setting up guards for our heart. What is good for me? What's not good for me? And here's the thing too, is that I think we get mixed up with, like, as long as it's not sin, then I'm okay. It's like, yes, that's true. Don't go after sin. Also, there are some things that are good for me, or maybe is not me needing to guard my heart against these things that Pastor Mike needs to guard his heart against, right? Like, there are some things that maybe some things that I listen to or I watch or that I that doesn't affect me in such a way that Pastor Mike has to guard his heart against.
That's absolutely true,
right? And it's not necessarily that it's sin. It's just that Pastor Mike knows, like, that's not good for my heart, right? And there's been plenty of moments where I'll be the first to say that not everything. My station in my car is not tuned to K-Love, and that's a whole other topic for a whole other conversation.
Pray for him.
Yeah. You want to tell us what you listen to? Okay. Yeah. You better keep it down over there, buddy. But I say all that to say that there are moments though where I've had to listen to Holy Spirit where He's convicted me of something and say that thing needs to go. You've allowed that in, and that needs to go, right? And it's like, but God, like, this is so funny to listen to, or this is so funny to watch, and it's like, yeah, but it's not good for you. We need to guard your heart in this moment.
It's moving debris,
right? Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Holy Spirit, that's a beautiful thing that He will convict us. He will communicate to us if we're open of what things we need to move to get back to the keys of the kingdom. To get back to the keys of what God wants to do in our lives.
Yeah.
So here's that verse again. I know we brought it up a lot, but repetition is good. But seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, when they heard again, the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. You know, here, just picture, they're sitting around Jesus, and he's saying in this communication on the Sermon on the Mount, because that's what this chapter 6 is involved in, all the way to 7. And he's telling them, you know, blessed are you when, you know, men persecute you, and, you know, to turn the other cheek and all of these things. And he comes to the place where he's talking about, you know, the hills that are covered, you know, are covered by my hand. And Solomon in all of his array wasn't as beautiful as those hills are.
Yeah.
In other words, my hand can do much more than man can do, is what he's saying. Mm-hmm. And then he says, but seek first the kingdom of God. And they're immediately thinking, oh yeah, the kingdom of God. We need to watch for Messiah. We need to see what he's going to do. We need to have this Roman rule turned over. I mean, that's immediately where they went. And even for us, we can do that. We can hear, seek first the kingdom of God. Oh yeah, I have to go to church. All of a sudden, we put this religious context over everything. Got to read my Bible every day. You know, I got to make sure I pray, you know, my 15 minutes a day, whatever it is. But we can put this false idea of what the kingdom of God is, because all of those things are byproducts of our relationship in the kingdom of God. They're not the kingdom of God itself. Yeah, but the problem is we can do that as Christians. We can think that going to church, I'm participating in the kingdom of God. Well, it's part of that. But really, the kingdom of God is Christ in you. Christ in us, When we receive Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive the Spirit of Messiah, the Spirit of Christ. And we don't just receive it in such a way that every now and then, you know, hey, Eric, how's it going? No, he's in us. He lives in us. So the kingdom of God isn't something we're searching for. Mm-hmm. It's something we already have.
So good.
So why do we seek first the kingdom of God? Well, that means that we have to always have an attentive heart, that we carry the kingdom with us, that we carry Christ with us. See, I think if more of us understood who lived in us all the time, we'd be very careful about where we went and what we said and how we conducted ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, who was it that was telling me, I love this expression, but, I think it was Patrick, says that he heard this before, that he likes to make sure that he thinks of the Holy Spirit on his shoulder like a dove. And not do things to get the dove to flutter away. Now, of course, the Holy Spirit isn't like, you know, just going to flutter away. But the idea is, am I careful with how I conduct myself and what I'm saying so to offend the Holy Spirit?
Right.
Go ahead. You have something there?
So the dove analogy, I've heard that before. And to break it down a little bit more in depth, if you think about a dove or any bird of that sort, they're very skittish animals. And so if you had a dove on your shoulder, how would you walk? You would walk with the dove. Every step would be with the dove in mind, right? And so if we're truly walking with Holy Spirit in mind, every step we take would be with Him in mind. That I don't want this thing to fly away. I don't want this thing to because I move too quickly or move the wrong way or move in a way He never asked me to move, where then He then has to go.
That's so good. Let's look at a verse here. This is John 3:3-5. Most of you are probably aware of this. Go ahead, read it.
Yeah, Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked, "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit."
So, this is an interesting statement because it's talking about us entering into the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. But it comes through the born-again experience. When we are born again, we enter into the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And as we'll see in the next verse, the kingdom of God enters into us. I think it was 2 weeks ago that I was communicating. Before we were saved, the Bible says in Acts 17 that we lived and moved and had our being in God. Before I was saved. I don't know how that works. I mean, I don't know how I was living and having my existence and moving around in God. That's what Paul told the Athenians on Athens Hill, you know, when he was talking to them at the Acropolis, I think it's called. And so when I got born again, it says that God comes and lives in me. Now it's like God, through some way, starts living and moving and having his existence through me. That's what Jesus was. He lived and moved and had his being in God, and God lived and moved and had his being in Christ. When Jesus walked, the Father was walking. When Jesus talked, the Father was talking. He says, I don't do anything that I don't what? See the Father doing. I don't say anything that I don't hear the Father saying. And people say, well, I'm not Jesus, Pastor Mike. No, we're not Jesus, but we have that same Spirit. It says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, what, gives life to what? Our mortal bodies. So we have that same Spirit that Jesus walked in. We have the same, what's that? Indwells in us. Yeah, indwells in us. Exactly. So the kingdom of God is something we receive and enter into when we get saved. Let's look at this verse. Luke 17:20-21.
Well, and real quick before I read this.
Go ahead.
I was thinking too, as you were saying that, like, we're not Jesus. We are, however, a representation of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that, whether we knew it or not, we signed up for when we said the prayer or however salvation came your way. And you know, I think about it at work. You know, I work at the mission, and I drive this van, 15-passenger van, and on along it, Yakima, you know, or Yakima Union Gospel Mission outreach van. And I'm on the road. I'm a representation of the mission. And so when I go out and I encounter people, when I encounter homeless people out there, like, I'm representing the mission. I'm representing. It's not just Eric Lopez. I don't just get to act on my own accord. Whatever I say, and I got to live with it. No. That's all going to come back on the mission. And in the same regards, it's like, yeah, we're not Jesus, but we're truly and ultimately representations of
him. It's called ambassadors.
Yeah.
Ambassadors for Christ.
Exactly.
Full representation of the kingdom.
Yeah. So just that little nugget. Luke 17:20-21 says, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you.
He messed them up right there.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't hear what the Pharisees thought, but again, when is the kingdom of God? You know what they're thinking? When is Messiah going to set up this kingdom we've been waiting for now for 2,500 years that's been promised to us? When is he going to get rid of these Romans? Mm-hmm. When are we going to be like the kingdom when Solomon was king, you know, where we were it. People would come from all over the world to bring us gifts because everybody was focused on Israel and God's hand was on us mightily. So when is that going to happen again? And then Jesus goes and says, well, I'm telling you, the kingdom does not come with observation. What does that mean? You can't just keep watching for the kingdom. It's going to come. You know, we can't, you know, sit there. Let me put it into a way that we could relate to it now. We're not going to get enough information in us that all of a sudden the kingdom of God is going to finally start working in our lives. It doesn't work that way. I wish it did. I wish if I read enough of the Bible, I would, you know, but then it would be me setting up the kingdom.
Right.
It would be me laying down. Yeah. By my own efforts, I brought God's kingdom to my life. Well, that sounds like I'm now leaning on my own righteousness.
Right.
On my own abilities. It's nothing about us. Mm-hmm. It's about us receiving. So, and you're not going to say, hey, over there's the kingdom of God. Or maybe, you know, it's someone comes to you and says, hey, I just heard about this amazing place, Asbury. And it's revival.
Yeah.
Go there and you're going to receive the kingdom of God. No, the kingdom of God is with the believer before he even gets there. And so we need to realize that it is within us. Yeah. Yeah. And it was he was telling us, the Pharisees, it's within you. The opportunity for the kingdom is within you. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to wait any longer. It's here now. And why? Because he was the kingdom. Jesus is the literal kingdom.
Yeah.
When we receive him, we receive his kingdom. Because he is the kingdom. When we receive God, we receive his love. Why? Because he is love.
Yeah.
When we receive God, we receive his peace. So we receive the peace of God. Why? Because he is peace. Okay. Here's another one.
Yeah, Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Paul is saying this because in Romans 14, he's talking to them about eating food that's sacrificed to idols. Mm-hmm. And he's talking to them about, you know, staying away from certain types of foods, you know, which they did as Jews. They stayed away from certain types of food. And Paul's saying, you know what? It's not about eating. It's not about drinking. It's not about following these religious standards.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't have that. But again, we have these other things. You know, do I go to church enough times per month?
Right.
You know, do I tithe enough? All of these things we can put on and we say, that's the kingdom. No, it's not. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What is it? It means that abundant life. If I'm receiving Christ's righteousness, if I'm receiving Christ's joy, if I'm receiving the peace of God in my life, that's an abundant life.
Amen.
If when the storms of life are fully pressuring me to the place where I should be crumbling in the natural,
Yeah. But
peace is guarding my heart, that beyond any understanding, That's an abundant life. I mean, I don't know if any of you watch YouTube and stuff, but I mean, the kind of stuff that's on there now, people are freaking out. They're talking about, you know, it's the end of the world and all of these different things. But we can say, no, it doesn't matter what happens out there. It doesn't matter if the end of the world comes. Christ is my peace. Mm-hmm. We were singing about the firm foundation. We were singing about the rock. Mm-hmm. We were singing about, you know, he's not going to fail us. That is what's true. And that's because we have the kingdom of God, and it lives in us. So what we have to do is honor that. Not take it for granted. Oh, yeah, the kingdom of God's in me. Christ lives in me. I'm saved. How about this? I'm saved. Got it all. Don't have to worry about anything. Well, yeah, you do. Guard your heart with all diligence. What did Peter tell them? He said, listen, you need to make sure that you're sober-minded and you're keeping your guard up. Why? Because the enemy is out there like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. So we do have an encouragement to not just take it for granted, but to hold our faith close to us as a treasure, because it is a treasure. Yeah. It's something we should honor. And, you know, as you get older, you tend to honor your faith more and more. When you're younger, it's like, yeah, I'm a Christian, you know, but do it now. Mm-hmm. Because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. Tomorrow, we may need to hang on to the hem of his garment for our the next amount of life that we're going to receive.
Yeah.
You have anything?
Yeah, it's about, and two, I think, too, it's about staying solid in our faith. One of our youth, our student leaders shared last Sunday, and he used this illustration, and it just came to me. I wish I had the elements to show you, but it's simple enough I can describe to you. But basically what he did is he took a water bottle, okay, just a regular water bottle, and he had two of them. One of them was frozen, completely frozen. One of them was just a regular water bottle, okay, like, you know, mm-hmm. Let's see, one of the room. You guys know what I mean. And what he said, what his point was, is that it's important that we stay strengthened in the Lord. It's important that we are doing these things, that we are due diligence. We are reading our Bible. We are praying. We are staying close to the Lord. We are seeking him first and all these things. And so he took the water bottle that was not frozen, and he opened it up, and he said, this is what happens if we're not, you know, staying diligent in our faith, if we're not staying solid. And he poured it out. And he said, this is exactly what the enemy can do to us at any point, at any given time. He comes at us, and everything that's in us just gets taken out.
That's good.
Okay? He takes a frozen one, and he opens it, and he tips it over, and nothing comes out. It's like, this is what happens when the enemy comes at us. When he didn't use this word, but this is what I thought, solid in our faith, right? This is what happens. Then he had one of our other youth students. He said, here, I want you to take this, and I want you to throw it on the ground. And he threw it on the ground, right? And he picks it up, and he opens it again, and he dumps it, and nothing comes out. He's like, this is what happens. But then this is the kicker, and this is where I was like, bro, I'm quitting tomorrow. He's taking over. He goes, takes a frozen one, and he looks at us. He says, but is this going to stay frozen? And obviously we know it's not. Within you know, hours maybe, mm-hmm. like it's going to be just water again. And if he opened it up at that point and dumped it, it all would come out. And I was just like, wow. Like, yeah, what a perfect illustration of what it looks like and the necessity it is for us to seek first the kingdom of God. And yes, do all of these things, but making sure that our heart is pure, making sure that our heart is guarded, making sure that we aren't just, you know, doing these things in order to do these things, thinking that this is making our faith solid. Because the unfortunate thing is that there are plenty of people that don't miss a Sunday, they don't miss a devotion time, they go to their Bible study, and their hearts are not pure. So let's not get it twisted and think that because we do the things, we come every Sunday and we read our word and all that stuff, that then we are that our hearts are okay. No, if we're not seeking God, if we're not bringing Holy Spirit into this thing with us, along with us, then and having him convict us and show us where are our blind spots, where are our rough spots, then we are kind of missing it. And will we get to heaven? Probably. But while we're here, we maybe didn't bring heaven down to earth. So
exactly. And the thing is that, you know, God does want us to have an abundant life, but abundant life doesn't come just, you know, getting saved and then just going and doing your own thing.
Yeah.
Abundant life is about remaining in the vine. You know, because in the vine, what do we get? Well, we get our nutrients, we get everything that we need to live. And if we're separated from the vine, hopefully we're not cutting ourselves loose, but sometimes, you know, things happen in our lives and we're not receiving that flow. We become like that water that thaws and gets dumped out. Now, fortunately, God can refill us. He can restore Amen. Us. Amen. You know, we're not limited by the mistakes of our past. Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful that my failures in the past have not been the tipping point of why my destiny is altered. Because God is able to make a way where there seems to be no way, even when I've done stupid things.
Yeah.
Because He is faithful, and He does love us, and He is a good, good Father, as we sing in the song.
So
one more verse.
So this is Mark 10, 13 to 15. It says, "And they were bringing children to Him that He might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, He was indignant and said to them, 'Let the children come to Me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it.'"
Jesus was indignant because they weren't getting it. He was upset because He's saying, no, no, no. This is the heart for receiving and experiencing and living and continuing in the kingdom of God. So what is it saying here? For us to really seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, for us to have Holy Spirit staying on our shoulder like a dove and being very careful and cautious of not causing Him to flutter away, if we're desiring more of God, it requires us to be like a child.
Wow.
Not childish. I know some childish Christians that's not what Jesus was talking about.
Yeah.
No, He's talking about a childlike faith isn't having an awe.
Mm-hmm.
Is realizing that God's not done with you yet.
Absolutely.
That maybe you've experienced some things in your life, but you know, it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are.
Yeah.
Have an awe, because today could be a day that you'll remember for the rest of your life.
So good.
That He does something in your life that changes you forever.
Yeah.
You know, during this service, some of us may think, oh, this is a great service, but we came today expecting and believing that when we gather together, that a congregation of faith gathers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Faith-filled believers. And God honors our desire to see each other increase and become greater in the kingdom of God, greater in who we are meant to be in Christ. And that's what we pray, that's what we believe. So you don't know if you just come in here today just experiencing a service and Holy Spirit's gone, click, set something in your heart that you'll never know until later on. Maybe you get to heaven, you realize, oh, you did something that day, Lord. I just thought I was, no, I did something that day. And if you look back and watch the rest of the days, you changed. You did. And it doesn't have to be like, oh, I was at the altar, and you know, that can happen, but it can just be you driving to work. I've had it happen where I was just driving to work and the Lord, boom, did something in my heart. And I said, how did that just happen?
So good.
I wasn't going to church. I was just driving to work and He did something in me.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm just taking a shower and it's a life-altering moment. We have to realize that God is able to work in us as He says He does. He's at work in us for His good pleasure.
So good.
All the time. Not just when you're at church. Not just when you're reading your Bible. All the time. When you're laying in bed at night, He could be transforming you and changing you. That's understanding that the kingdom of God is in you.
Yeah.
You know, John says something radical. Jesus kind of infers it in John 14, 15, and 16 through there. But John says this, listen, you do not need anybody to teach you. You don't hear many preachers preach this because they like to teach and know that, you know, hey, I got it, you know. You don't need anybody to teach you. You know why? Because you have the Spirit of truth in you. Now, do we receive teachers? Yeah, people who are called of God, fathers in the faith. Yeah, we listen to them, but it's not a full necessity for you to learn every single thing you learn from a man, because you have the Spirit of God. Jesus says, listen, when the Spirit comes to you, he's going to remind you everything I ever said. That's why we have the Bible. Wow. He reminded them. He brought it to the remembrance. But he can bring it to our remembrance. Yeah, I remember when I was first saved, this is a pretty radical story. I was just brand new saved, maybe just a few weeks. And when I said I'm saved, I mean like someone said, hey, Jesus is over there. Do you want to follow him? I just started following him. I didn't make any confession or anything. I just said, boy, I want to follow him. You know, like the disciples, Matthew, hey, come on, follow me. That's what Matthew did. He followed him all the way to when he wrote the book and eventually probably died a martyr. But I was at a house, and this couple were the ones that kind of were directing me to the Lord. Cal was the one who actually gave me the offer, but didn't close the deal. They didn't have me pray, but I followed that day. And so what ended up happening is that I was in this house, and it was late at night, and they were praying, and they were really seeking because they needed direction. And I'm like, you know, just, I think I read maybe Proverbs or something since then, you know, and I'm just sitting there and listening, and they're praying, and they're earnestly seeking everything, and all of a sudden, one of them says, should we start fasting? Maybe we should start fasting, you know, and fasting can be hard, and yeah. His wife said, oh, I don't know. I mean, is that what the Lord's calling us to do, you know, and Cal and her talking back and forth. All of a sudden, I'm hearing, I said, do you have a Bible? And they said, yeah, so they hand me the Bible. And I said, okay, I've got this verse in my head. I don't know, where is Matthew, you know? It's like, okay, is Matthew? Oh. And so I find the verse, and I go, okay, where's this verse that's in my head? And I go, and I say, okay, let's see, where is it? And I say, oh, yeah, this is it. Verse 16, I go, I'm just going to read it. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their face to know others are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to the others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I look, oh, wow. And they're like, oh! And they know, you know, that they're to fast. I was just a brand new Christian. Matthew. Oh, okay. What I'm telling you is the Holy Spirit can teach us. Wow. The Holy Spirit can lead us. The Holy Spirit is the gift of God. Mm. Not just a gift from God. It is a gift of God. Okay. In other words, it's God in us. It's God himself in us. That's what told me to go to that scripture when that couple's like, it should be fast, you know, and I'm not even praying. I'm just like, oh, Matthew 6 something. Like, is there a book? Is there a Matthew? You know, so my point being is that, listen, God's got this. If we open up our hearts, say, Lord, I'm not going to just admit I have it all figured out. Wow. I don't have it all figured out. Really, I don't care how long I've been walking with you. I don't have it figured out. I need you desperately in my life to reveal your kingdom in my life. I need you to sit on the throne of my heart. If I've been pushing you off and sitting on my own throne, Lord, I rebuke that now, and I receive you on my throne once again. And if I start to pressure you off, Holy Spirit, remind me that I need to give you room in my life. I need to give you the availability to do what you want to do in me when you want to do it, not on my timing. Not when it's convenient, I'm at church. Yeah, have your way in me, Lord. Yeah, I'll raise my hands at church. Ooh, this is so good, you know. No, how about when you're driving down the road and someone cuts you off? Mm. Now can I have my way in you? You know, or name it, you know. Put in whatever frustrates you. Put in whatever irritates you. Put in whatever crushes your heart. Yeah. Can I have my way in you then? Wow. Or does it have to be when all the circumstances are perfect? And as he said, if you do this, you're not going to have to worry about other stuff. Okay. And you know, Jesus said, you know, what you wear, what you eat, you know, where you're going to stay. But it's much more than that. It's like who you're going to marry when you grow up, who you're going to, where you're possibly going to work. I mean, I'm talking, it can cover everything in your life. Where are you going to be next? You know, I had somebody in there and they were looking at the building. And he's like, are you okay? Can I say, it's a building. I'm seeking the kingdom of God. This is a place, yeah, God's blessed us with it. It's fantastic, and we've had great years here. But I'm telling you, I told him, this is a building. I'm ready for what God wants to do. Because that's living out the kingdom. I know, I've been rattling a little bit, but one more time. Let's read this together. How about that? If we can get it on three. One, two, three.
But seek first
the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And next we'll talk about what his righteousness is, and that will probably surprise you as well. Amen. Father, we are so... First, before that, does anyone have anything burning on their heart? Vicky. I should have said, Vicky, do you have something? Do you have something, hon? You said you had something earlier. You're not sure? Okay.
So I attended a funeral yesterday for somebody that I worked for a short time, and they became beloved to me in my heart. And Breakthrough Church, the pastor, Brian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was his dad who was officiating at the graveside service. And he was good friends with this gentleman, Dennis. And he said that him and Dennis were having a conversation one day about the 23rd Psalm. And the 23rd Psalm, and it was the first verse. And he said, yeah, he said, Dennis, he said, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And Dennis goes, yeah, but to me, it's the Lord is my shepherd. He is all I want.
Oh, that's good.
And that just really hit me. Because we don't always put him in the position of that's all we want. We put our daily want above him. Our daily need above him. And we don't even realize it. Until the Holy Spirit taps our shoulders and says, hey, can I have my way here? Mm-hmm. Will you let me lead you here? So I just wanted to, you know, that just, you know, keep that in mind that, yes, he leads us and we want for nothing, but we need to want him first, and then everything else falls in.
That's good. Awesome. Anyone else? No one. Okay. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to get together, Lord, and to come around your word. Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide between bones and marrow and the thoughts and intents of our heart. Lord, it's a revealer, Lord, of our deep, 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 deep things that are going on. So, Lord, we thank you that your word is given to us, Lord, as a gift, as the Holy Spirit is. And so I just ask, Lord, that you would let this word, this time together, Lord, produce fruit in our lives. And Lord, not just fruit, Lord, that is temporary, Lord, but it would be fruit that would remain for the duration. In Jesus' name, amen.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaking, and I've never been bolder, that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would even now? 'Cause Christ is my firm foundation, and the rock on which I stand.
everything around me shaking. I put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. No, he won't. No, he won't. Got peace that makes no sense. Why won't we go under? I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I built my life on Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful in every season. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. He won't. He won't fail. No, he won't. He won't fail. He won't. He never has. So why would he start now? He won't fail. He won't fail. God, I thank you so much that your love is just everlasting, never ending. God, I pray that we would seek first the kingdom of God in all we do, God. Even in moments where we think, I don't need God's input on this. This is simple. Even in moments where we think, I've done this before. I know what I'm doing. That we would stop and we would seek you first, God, in all that we do. We thank you, Lord, for the love you've poured out today. And that you will continue to pour out today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day, God. We thank you, Father, for your goodness and for your mercy. For your kindness, God. I thank you, Lord, that as we end our service today, God, it's not the end of us pursuing you. It's not the end of you pursuing us. God, I pray, Lord, for heavenly encounters over our people this morning, God, over your people. Lord, in moments in their quiet time, in their devotions, God, in their car, Lord, and them just doing life, Lord, that they would be encountered by your love, God. And we just thank you so much, God, that you're here in this place, that you love us, you love our city, you love our church, you love each person here, each person that couldn't be here today. We just pray blessings upon them as well. And we just thank you for all of these things, and all God's people said, amen. Have a great week, everybody.